you got your Bibles, we're in Romans chapter 11, and we're going to look at just 10 verses, aren't you? 10 verses, that's it. Not 35, not 4,322. We'd be here till next year preaching. 10 verses this morning. How many can handle 10 verses this morning? If your hand's not up, it don't matter. You're stuck. I'm sorry. Fellas, lock the doors. Keep them in. Okay, just kidding. All right, if you would, let's do this. Can we stand to our feet if you're able? If you're able to this morning. We're going to read these verses together, and then I'll let you be seated. Let's stand as we read God's Word together. If you got your Bibles this morning, we're in Romans chapter 11. Guys will have it on the screen as well. And let's look at verses 1 through 10 this morning. As I read out loud, would you follow along? Verse 1, here's what the Bible says. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What? Ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession of God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Verse 4, but what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this present time, also, and here's the sermon title, the message title this morning, there is a remnant. That's what we're going to look at this morning. There is a remnant. Continue verse 5, according to the election of grace. Verse 6, and by grace, and it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But it be of works, and it is no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. Verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Verse 10, and then we'll pray, let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. This morning we're going to look at this subject, there is a remnant. If you would, bow your heads and close your eyes, and we will pray together, then I'll have you be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. God, help us this morning. Lord, as I preach, Lord, would you use your word today? God, I don't need anyone remembering my name this morning. Lord, I want them to remember your word today. God, please use your word. Use these 10 verses to speak to each of our hearts, Lord. There's a lot of different things I'm going to talk about today. So, Lord, use something from your word today and help us to be changed people. We love you, Jesus. Please bless us this morning in your precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, how many of you in here, you like mysteries? Anybody like mysteries? How many like puzzles? How many hate puzzles? Anybody puzzle haters? Okay. You get the puzzle out and you just go nuts, angry, hate it. I don't know about you. I like mysteries and I like puzzles. I like figuring out what's going on, right? Here in chapter 11, as we read these 10 verses, we've got a mystery to figure out. Are you excited about that? We've got a puzzle. There's a problem going on here in chapter 11. And Paul is addressing it. I want us to look and see if we can figure out what is the solution to this mystery, this puzzle that we're going to see. Now, it starts in verse 21 of chapter 10. Can we rewind? Look at verse 21. Here's what the Bible says. Verse 10, or chapter 10. But to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, remember, the Apostle Paul is writing, and here as he's writing, he's specifically talking to the Jewish people. And as you read your Bible, the Old Testament and even the New Testament up to this point, you find that the nation of Israel, even though they're God's people, they haven't always acted like God's people. By the way, have you ever been there, Christian, but you weren't living the way God wanted you to live? And if you were to read Jewish history in the Old Testament and even up to the New Testament, what you find is even though Israel is God's people, there have been many times where they've turned their back on God. For instance, the Old Testament, you'll see the nation of Israel falling into idolatry time and time again. It's interesting that they're God's people, yet they turn away from God to worship a golden calf or worship Baal or some of these other gods around them. Why? Because they've turned from him. They've turned from him. God sent prophets their way, did he not? He would send a man of God to them and say, hey, you better tell Israel they got to turn back to me. And yet, sometimes they would persecute those men of God, those prophets. See, the nation of Israel is God's people, but we have a serious problem going on. See, the nation of Israel, although God's people, many times have not been living for God. And that's what we see in verse 21, and that leads us in to chapter 11. By the way, can I ask you a question this morning? And here's the whole question. In this passage, here's the puzzle. Are you ready for the puzzle we got to solve? Where is God? Everybody got the question in your mind now? As we go through this message this morning, I want us to think about where is God? Because that's what the nation of Israel is wondering. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says this, I say then, hath God cast away his people? Paul asks the question to these Israelites, has God cast us away? Where is God at? See, some of the nation of Israel are feeling, is God here? Is God with us? Is God present? We don't think he is. And so we're trying to figure out this morning, where is God? Notice the wording in verse 1. Hath God cast away his people? As I read that phrase, cast away, I thought about casting out, or how about this word, outcast? How many know what the word out, we know that word, being an outcast, right? The nation of Israel right here, Paul is saying, hey, did God cast you out? Are you an outcast? Can I ask you this question? Would you this morning, if you were in God's shoes, if you were God and you were looking at the nation of Israel, would you cast them out? Some of you are thinking, is this a trick question? No, I was just asking you a question. If you were in God's shoes and you were God and these were your people, and yet time and time again, your people have done exactly the opposite of what you said over and over and over again. If you were God, would you make the decision? Hey, I'm just done with them. Hang it. I don't want to deal with them anymore. How many say, Brother T.D., that'd be me. That's the way I'm feeling. As you present this, that's the way I'd be feeling. How many say, yes, Brother T.D., that's the way I'd feel. How many say, I'm not raising my hand because I'm not sure. I see you out there. Could I rephrase the question a little bit? See, God doesn't think like me and you do. It's Father's Day, is it not? If I asked you this, fathers, what would your kid have to do? How wicked would they have to be? How against you would they have to be before you would say, I've had enough of you, and cast them out of your family? By the way, the men in here, here's what they're thinking. They could never do anything bad enough that I still wouldn't love them, right? They could never go so far away that I still wouldn't care for them and want them to come home. And so as Paul asks this, has God cast you out? Look what he says. God forbid. Here's a simple way to put it. No. No. Has God cast you out, nation of Israel? And the answer is, Paul says, it's no. Of course God hasn't cast you out. Aren't you glad this morning, Christian, that God will not cast you out? Now, I understand this passage is talking to the Israelites, but praise the Lord through the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he didn't just die for the Jewish people. He died for the entire world, right? That's why even though Brother TJ stands up here, as far as I know, I have no Jewish blood that flows through my body. I would be considered a Gentile, as the Bible says, but Jesus Christ died for my sins too. And when I accepted him, now I am God's family. I am God's people because of what I've done. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God will never cast out his people. But that's not what the nation of Israel feels. And Paul says, hey, has God cast you out? And here's the answer, no. But where is God at then? Are you still with the mystery here? Paul says, hey, has God cast you out? Nope. Nation of Israel, where is he then? Where's he at? How many are still with me? Everyone still alive? We're just getting warmed up, dude. This gets great. Here we go. Verse 1, God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul reminds them, hey, I'm a Jewish person too, because Paul was. Verse 2, he answers it again. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Paul tells them, Has God cast you out? Paul says no. Paul says, if you don't believe me, let me give you an Old Testament illustration. Are you ready to see the illustration? You got your Bibles? Let's do a little Bible study. Can we do that? 1 Kings, if you would. 1 Kings, chapter 19. The guy's on the upstairs. Brother Colby, can you get that verse up there? I'll race you. Brother Colby says, maybe. Once you're there, say amen. Wow, I'm still not there. Amen. There, I'm there. Here we go. 1 Kings, chapter 19. Paul says, has God forsaken you? Has God cast you out? The answer was no. He says, if you don't believe me, I want to give you an Old Testament illustration of this. Let's look. Chapter 19 and verse number 2. Look what verse number 2 says. Then Jezebel. Oh, how many know that name from the Bible? Jezebel. Not good. No bueno. Not a good lady. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, by tomorrow, about this time. Now, I want you to know what's going on. If you are ever bored in your Bible reading, read these couple chapters, 1 Kings 17, 18, 19. You won't be bored for very long. Here's what's happened. Elijah had just went up against the prophets of Baal. How many know that story in your Bible? It was Elijah versus those prophets. Who was going to call fire down from heaven first, right? Prophets tried all day. They serve a false god. Nothing happened. Elijah steps up. Fire comes down. What a scene. I hope I can see that in heaven. Like, I want a video of that because that would have been awesome. He calls down that fire from heaven. As soon as that's done, they end up going to battle against those prophets of Baal. They destroy those prophets of Baal. Right after that, it's boom, boom, boom. Right after he calls down fire from heaven, battles the prophets of Baal, he goes up on a mountain, he starts praying, right? He ends up praying down rain. He's been in a drought for a long time. Right after that, he sees Ahab. Ahab's in a chariot, and Elijah outruns the chariot. Now, I don't know about you. If we want an experiment, let's go outside after church. I'll hop in my vehicle. You start next to me. We'll have someone say go, and we'll see who wins, my vehicle or you. Well, if you were Elijah, you'd have beat the chariot. Because Elijah, the Bible says he supernaturally outruns Ahab's chariot. Are you getting how crazy some of those miracles are? He calls down fire from heaven. He calls down rain. He outruns a chariot. And then all of a sudden you come here and Jezebel says, hey, just want to throw a little damper on your spirit, Elijah. I'm going to kill you. That's basically what she says. So let me make you a promise, Elijah. It's a very nice promise. I'm going to kill you like you killed those prophets of Baal. And as soon as Elijah hears that, all of a sudden, a guy who's spiritually doing really good, he plummets. Are you ready to see this? And this is what Paul is using as an example. Look at verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Elijah hears what Jezebel says. Elijah runs off to the wilderness. And Elijah by himself calls out to God and says, God, just take me now. Called down fire from heaven, called down rain from above, outran a chariot, and now he's running, hiding under a juniper tree, praying for death. Mountaintop, valley. Are you getting it? Now here's where Paul's example comes in. Because as Elijah here is all by himself, here's what he feels. I am all alone. You ever felt that? Spiritually, maybe you felt alone. Maybe when you go to work, you feel like you're the only one who cares about God and cares about church and cares about the Bible. You ever felt that way? It's what Elijah feels. And it's that feeling that Paul's going to use in the book of Romans, chapter 11. Let's read it, if you would. Go to verse number 9 and 10, if you would. I'm sorry, verse number 10. Or verse number 9, the end of it. Here's God's question. What doest thou here, Elijah, verse 10? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Would you go back to Romans chapter 11? Here's what Paul is saying. Hey, has God cast you out? Paul says, no, he hasn't. Paul says, let me show you an illustration of a guy named Elijah. Elijah's on the mountain. He's been through some really good times. But we remember what happened to Elijah. He felt like he was all alone. This morning, very quick, I want to give you three thoughts from this passage. What do you do if you feel like spiritually you're all alone? Where is God? We haven't gotten there yet. Keep it in your mind. Number one, are you there? Romans chapter 11, verse number 3. The Bible says, Lord, they have killed thy prophets. Paul is telling us exactly what we just read. And dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Verse 4, Paul says, but what saith the answer of God unto him? Here was God's answer. Elijah said, I'm all alone. There's no one else. I'm the only one serving. God's answer, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. Can I tell you this morning, when you feel like you're spiritually all alone, remember that God is still working on people's hearts. God is still working on people's hearts. Aren't you glad that God is still working on people's hearts? Some of you are here this morning and you ain't got everything figured out in life, but you're here in church, and right now God is doing a work in your home, in your family, in your business, because you are trying to follow God. Aren't you glad God is still working on hearts? Elijah says, hey, I'm the only one. And God says, no, you're not. I've got some men. They're listening to me. They're worshiping me. They've surrendered to my call. God is always working on people. Aren't you glad that God's still working on people getting saved this morning? I love the Bible when it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and he will open the door, I will come in. Some of you remember the day where God above came to your heart and he started knocking. Hey, I was 5 years old and I remember it. That was a long time ago. I'm getting older. 20-some years. I'm in the double decade, man. I've been saved. Five-year-old boy, God came knocking on my heart, and I knew it. I knew Jesus wanted into my heart. And that day, praise the Lord, I opened the door, and I let Jesus Christ into my heart. He became my Lord and Savior. How many remember the day where you trusted him and you opened your heart? Aren't you glad that God is still working on hearts today? Hey, can I tell you this? I love going out and talking to people about Jesus. There's times where I go out and I'll knock on doors. Door one. Hello, my name's TJ Gardner. I'm from Grandview Baptist Church. Door slams in my face. By the way, when that happens, you just, why, thank you very much. Praise the Lord. You just try to stay positive. And you know what I think? They're not ready yet, but God's still working. I go to the next door. Hello, my name's TJ Gardner. I'm from Grandview Baptist Church. Hey, do you got a church you go to? And they'll say, well, I actually have a church that we are faithful in. And we appreciate the invitation, but we're good. Have a nice day. And I'll say, at least you didn't slam the door in my face. Thank you. Thank you. I'll go to the third door. No one home. Fourth door. No one home. Fifth door. By the way, that's a common occurrence, okay? No one home. But you'll get to a door. Man will answer the door. And I've had this happen hundreds, if not thousands of times. Hey, my name's TJ Gardner. I'm from Grandview Baptist Church. You got a church you go to? You know what? Me and my wife this week were talking about how we got to get in church. I don't know why we were talking about it, but we were talking about it this week. I'm thinking, yes! You want to know why? God's working in their lives. He's working on their hearts. I'll say, hey, man, we ain't a perfect church, but boy, we'd love to have you and your family. We've got stuff for all ages. You would just absolutely love it. I'll then ask them a question, something like this. Hey, can I ask you one more question, more important about church? It's about heaven. I'll say, if something bad were to happen to you, would you be 100% sure you're on your way to heaven? Would you not be so sure? Hey, you'd be shocked at how many people, hundreds of thousands, that I've asked personally, and they'll say something like this, no, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. And I'll ask this, could I take a couple minutes to show you from the Bible how you could be 100% sure? And you'd be shocked to know that hundreds and possibly thousands of people I personally have met, and they'll say this, yes, I would love to know how I could go to heaven. And I'm just thinking, this is great. I'll open my Bible. I'll walk them through some verses. I'll say, hey, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you know you're a sinner? They'll be like, mm-hmm. Yep, I know. I say, me too. We're in the same boat. I'll talk about Jesus. I'll talk about heaven. I'll talk about how he paid for their sins. And I'll get to the end and I'll say, hey, would you like to pray right now and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And you can let him into your heart right this minute, right on your doorstep. And would you be shocked if you believed, Brother TJ, if I've had hundreds of people who say yes, I'll pray right now. And they get saved right on the spot. Was it anything I said? No. What was the difference between the first door and the last door? The difference was God is working on all of them, but one is finally ready to open their heart and to let Jesus Christ in. Aren't you glad this morning that God is always working on people's hearts? Hey, can I tell you this morning, I would not preach if I didn't believe God wasn't working on hearts. What would be the point of a pastor working for hours during a week preparing a message and studying and planning and preparing if he did not believe that when he got up and he presented the Bible, Jesus' words, God's words, if that someone, when they heard it, it wouldn't start working on their heart. Hey, he was in a preaching service where God worked on Brother TJ's heart as a teenage boy. And God said, TJ, I want you to preach. And I said, oh boy. But I said, God, if you want that, I'll do it. Fast forward to where I am now, preaching, amen. It was during a service. Aren't you glad God is still working on people's hearts? And as Paul says, hey, has God forsaken us? Has God cast us out? The answer is no. He says, let me tell you about Elijah. Elijah felt like he was all alone, and God said, hey, I'm still working on hearts. Don't forget, people, God's still working on hearts. Number two, are you with me this morning? Everybody still all right? Raise your right hand. I'll do this with the teenagers all the time. Raise your right hand. Come on. Now, some of you raising your left hand. That's not good. Come on now. Raise your right hand. Okay? Touch your ear. Touch your ear. Come on. Touch your ear. Boy, I got way too many of you adults on that one. I just want you to know. Some of you are still holding your... You're still touching your nose right now, even though I said touch your ear, okay? But I had a sixth grade boy the other day, literally stared at me. He did this. I said, touch your ear. He's touching his nose. Then he realized, oh, he said ear, so he does this. But then he was still looking at me, so guess what he did? And I just stared at him. I'm like, should we count? Sixth grade boys are great, man. They're awesome. You're still with me. Some of you are still with me. Some of you are touching the... You're not with me. Okay, we got to get back in. Here we go. Number two, when you feel like you're all alone, remember, there are always people who still haven't bowed. They still haven't bowed. Look what God says. Verse 4, chapter 11, Romans. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I've reserved myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Don't forget that when you feel like you're alone, that there are others who have not bowed the knee to this world and to Satan. There are still people. There's a remnant. That's the sermon title this morning. There's always a remnant, a group of people who are still serving and worshiping the Lord. But here's what happens sometimes. We think to ourselves, like Elijah, I'm all alone. Hey, my family, we're the only ones trying to serve God. Why don't you show up to Grandview Baptist Church? You know what you see at Grandview Baptist Church? A lot of families who are trying to serve God. You're not alone, Dad. You're not alone, Mom. Teenager, there's other teens who are trying to do the right thing. You're not by yourself. You show up to church, you think, well, hey, there are other families here. And maybe then you start thinking, man, are we the only church around doing something for God? And the simple truth is, no, there are churches everywhere in our cities, our state, our country, and our world who are all trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is always a group of people in our world who have not bowed the knee to the devil and who have not bowed the knee to the temptations of this world. And can I tell you this? You're not alone. Elijah says, hey, I'm all by myself, God. And God says, no, I'm still working on people. God says, oh, I've still got a whole bunch of people who ain't bowed the knee to that Baal, that false god. You're not alone. I saw a stat recently. I don't know how accurate it is, but they say now this is encouraging and discouraging at the same time. They say 8% of the world, 8% of the world would profess to be believers in Jesus Christ. Now that's encouraging and discouraging. Here's why it's encouraging. Hey, There are millions of people, millions, millions who believe in Jesus Christ just like I do. And they're trying to do the right thing. You sit there and you watch the news and you think, man, there ain't no one out there serving God. Man, our country, there's no... Hey, that's not true! There's always a remnant. That's what Paul is saying. There's always a group who are trying to do the right thing. And by the way, if I was you, that's the group I want to run with. That's why I show up to church. That's why I show up to Sunday school. That's why I run teen activities. Because if there's a group of people who are standing for God, I want to stand with them. That's at church. Praise the Lord. Grandview Baptist Church. Shameless plug right there. So it's encouraging because there's always a remnant. By the way, the discouraging part is 92% of the world doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. Me and you still have a lot of work to do. We've got to preach. We've got to send missionaries. We've got to give the gospel. We got to put out more tracts, put out more flyers, because there's a world that needs Jesus Christ. So it's encouraging and discouraging. But I want you to understand, here's what Paul is saying. Paul says, has God forsaken you? The answer is no. Elijah thought that he was by himself, and God showed Elijah that, hey, there's always people God's working on, and there's always people who haven't bowed the knee. Are you still with me this morning? Look at verse number 5. Bible says this, even so then, this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now watch verse 6. How many ever in school you had to do those reading comprehensions? How many of those reading where you have to read a paragraph? Then answer 10 questions about it. How many just got really angry all of a sudden? How many failed those sections? Come on, be honest. Don't you lie to me. Okay? We're in God's house now. Amen. Okay? When I read verse 6, you ever read the Bible and have to do like a double take? You're like, what did I just read? You ever been there? I did like a quad take. Like read it like 4 times. I'm like, what is Paul saying here? Okay? It's like reading comprehension. You read the story. You look at question 1. You're like, I didn't know that character was in that story I just read. So then guess what we have to do in reading comprehension? You go back and you reread it. And then all of a sudden the teacher says, oh, 3 minutes, time's up. And that's why some of you hate, you got angry when I said reading comprehension. Let's get back to the Bible. It's much nicer. I read it and I'm thinking, what is Paul talking about? Now I'm going to read it for you. And we'll see if you can figure it out. Are you ready? Verse 6. And it by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. And we're like, got it, Brother TJ. Pretty tricky stuff, right? Now, it's really easy. It just took me, I'm sorry, I'm not as smart as some of you. It took me a little longer to figure it out. Very easy once I figured it out, but for a while I'm going, what did I just read, okay? Here's what it's saying. Let's look at the word grace. Because Paul brings up grace. Grace is getting what we don't deserve, right? Let me put it a little different wording. How about this? Grace is getting what we haven't worked for. Or deserved or earned. Are you getting that? Grace is getting what you haven't worked for. And so Paul says if you add works to grace, then it can't be grace anymore. Because grace is getting what you haven't worked for. And he says vice versa. If you add grace to works, well, it's not where it's. He said you can't intermingle those. And you say, Brother T.D., why is he bringing this up? Because I want you to understand number 3. When you're feeling like you're all alone spiritually, God has always given us grace. Sometimes here's what we feel. We feel like God's not there because of something we've done. You ever felt like that? You've made a mistake in life? And you feel like, maybe God's not answering my prayers because of that. You ever been there? We feel like things have come up and we've done things, we've made bad decisions, we've made bad choices, and we're always looking for those consequences of sin because we know those consequences of sin come, right? We get that. And so we feel like, hey, maybe God has cast me out. Maybe that's Israel's problem, right? Because we're trying to figure out where is God. Maybe the problem is they've made so many mistakes that God is done with them. Paul brings up grace because you know what? Grace is getting what we don't deserve. And can I say this? None of us deserve God in our lives. But yet, God's still in your life and He still loves and cares about you. Amen? Let me read a couple things. I hope this will make it easy. God loves even when we don't deserve His love. God forgives even when we don't deserve His forgiveness. God blesses. Hey, how many feel blessed this morning? Hey, I do too, but can I be honest with you? If I was to be honest with you and myself, hey, I don't think I deserve a lot of blessings. I know me, and you know you. But yet, God blesses even though we don't deserve it. God provides even when we don't deserve it. God cares for us even when we don't deserve it. God empowers us even when we don't deserve it. God shows up when we don't deserve it. God does miracles in our lives even though we don't deserve it. Why does He do that? It's because of grace. Has God forsaken you? Has God cast you out, Israel? Paul says no. He says, look at Elijah. Elijah thought he was alone too. And then Elijah realized that God's always working on people. Elijah realized that God always has people who haven't bowed. There's always people standing for Him. And God has grace. And even though me and you would look at the nation of Israel and go, man, I'd have gotten rid of them a long time ago. God doesn't look at them like that. Why? It's His grace. It's not because of works that they've done, right? We look at Israel's works and we go, you know, hang them, right? But no, God looks at them and says, I still love you. But here's the question, our puzzle, where is He then? Where is God? Anybody got an answer in your mind? Now, don't shout it out. Don't give away the answer. Anybody got an answer? Some of you are too scared right now. It's okay. Here we go. I got 5 minutes. Can we do it? Everybody still good? Do we need to do the hand raise thing again? Okay. Some are like, no, Brother TJ, I hate that. Okay. All right, here we go. Let's keep going. Verse number 7. Paul says this, what then? What's the problem? Where is God at? If He's not forsaken us, what's the situation? What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Some have it, some don't. Verse 8. Now he's going to quote some Old Testament passages to these Jews, these Israelites. Verse 8. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Verse 9. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Verse 10. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Now, some of you are looking at that and you're going, Brother, see, I don't know what Paul's saying, but it doesn't look good. Here's the question this morning. Where is God? Paul says, hey, He's not forsaken you. He's not forsaken you. He's not cast you out. Look at Elijah. He gave that example of Elijah. Elijah thought he was all alone, but then he realized he was wrong. But some have, some... Where is God? And I want you to go to Psalm 69. Let's look where these verses are from, and you'll see the answer this morning. Are you excited about the answer? Here we go. Some of you are like, I'll tell you in a minute, Brother T. You've got to tell us the answer first. Psalm 69 and verse number 22 and 23. Now, we just read this. This is what Paul is quoting. Look at 22. Verse 22 says, let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Verse 23, let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Are you ready for the answer? What's the problem? Where is God? Rewind to verse 21, and it makes it so clear. Look at 21. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. We know this verse is prophetic. You know who it's talking about? Talking about Jesus on that cross, isn't it? Are you ready for the answer? Where's God? Paul says, hey, has God cast us out? No. Elijah thought that way. We found out it wasn't true. Where is God? And his simple answer is, for the Jews, God has been there the whole time, yet they're not a part of the remnant. Why aren't they part of the remnant? Because they rejected God's Son. They rejected God's Son. Where is God, nation of Israel? He's still with you. Has He abandoned you? No. Should He have? If it was us, probably. But He hasn't cast you out yet. And He never will cast you out. He's been there the whole time, but there's a problem. You rejected Him. Can I tell you this morning, in your Bible, God never casts us out. But can I say this? There is a story about a prodigal son. Did the father in the story of the prodigal son cast the son out? No. But did the son leave the father? Did the son go off into the far country? Where was dad at? Was he still at home waiting? And can I say this? That's the picture of Israel. Paul says, is God cast us out? No. He's still there. He's still waiting. Like the father in the prodigal, he's still waiting with open arms for the nation of Israel to come home. Here's the crazy part. Are you ready for this statement? Not only did God not cast out the nation of Israel, but think about this. He sent his own son to live with them. Not only did God not cast out the nation of Israel. Paul says, hey, God forbid, we're not cast out. But God said, hey, I will send Emmanuel, God in flesh. He will come. He will live on your streets. He grew up in Nazareth. He went to Jerusalem. When he's an adult man, he will go out the countryside. He will preach to you. He will live amongst you. And when they had a chance to accept him, did they? No. In fact, as Psalm 69, they put him on a cross and they crucified him. The answer this morning, as Paul says, where is God? The answer is this. He has been there the whole time with open arms, waiting for the Jews to accept his son, Jesus Christ. Next week when Pastor preaches, he's going to go into the next part. Because the Jews rejected the gospel, did you know who the gospel would then go to? The rest of the world, non-Jews like myself. And that gospel would start spreading. But Paul says, has God left us? No, it's we have rejected him, not him rejecting us. This morning, could I ask you a question before we pray? This morning, are you a part of the remnant? These Jews, God's people, but just because you're an Israelite doesn't mean you get to heaven. There has to be the acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what they're missing here in chapter 11. This morning, could I ask you this question? Are you here this morning? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And then number two, if you have you had some times in your life lately where you feel like you're all alone? Elijah felt that way, but then he was reminded, God's always there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, right? No cast outs, no castaways, no outcasts. He was reminded there's other people too standing. This morning, are you in the remnant? And are you remembering that God is still with you? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? With heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe there's someone in the room this morning and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven. You've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. Could I ask you this question this morning? If he's knocking at your heart, would you just let him in? Would you let him in? Would you get it settled? Would you get it nailed down that Jesus is your Savior? With heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, I'm going to say a prayer. It's not magic. You don't even have to say it just like this. But if you need this morning to open your heart and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you pray a simple prayer in your heart, something along these lines? Pray, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Dear Jesus, I know I cannot save myself. But Jesus, I open my heart to you and I accept you as my personal Savior so that I can go to heaven when I die. With heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, I wonder, as just a testimony to myself, I'm the only one looking, and a testimony to God above, I wonder if there's anyone in the room, say, Brother TJ, for the first time in my life this morning, I prayed that prayer with you. I let Jesus Christ in my heart. I just got saved right now. I prayed it, I believed it, I meant it, and I let him in my heart. Would you slip your hand up? I won't embarrass you, I promise. I just want to know, is there anyone? Is there anyone? Give me 1 second, I'm scanning the room. Praise the Lord, I don't see any hands. That means this morning we're all believers. We're a part of that remnant. Can I ask you, a Christian, how are you feeling? You might be saved this morning, but are you and God okay? Are you close? Or are you far away and need to get back to Him? With heads bowed, eyes closed, if you would, can we all stand to our feet this morning? The piano's going to play. And as the piano plays this morning, if you need to do business with God, you come up front. Old-fashioned steps. You can get right with God. Many are coming already. If you're here this morning, maybe you got saved this week. Maybe your house, someone talked to you. We got some men at the front. They'd love to just share with the church that you got saved. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never been scripturally baptized. Boy, we'd love to help you with that. Our baptistry waters are always warm and ready. Maybe you're here today and you need a church home. We're not a perfect church, but we'd love to have you join our church. If you would want to join our church, we have some men at the front. They'd take a couple minutes to talk to you about that, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. If you're at your seat, would you pray? Would you connect with God this morning? What has He spoken to your heart about? Maybe it's you need to reach that other 92% of the world. I don't know. Would you connect with God for just a few moments as people are being dealt with? Dearly Father, we love You. God, we thank You for the many people that are here this morning, Lord. God, we thank You for Your Word and how powerful it is. We ask You to use it in our lives as we go home today. In Your precious name, amen. You may be seated. We have just a few things. Just a second, we're going to watch the next video. But before we do that, we have Alyssa, is it Rose now? Am I saying that right? Rose now? Oh, look at that. Got it. First try. Alyssa Rose now. She has been coming for a few months now to our church, and we certainly are glad that she has been coming. And this morning she has come, and she wants to place her membership here at Grandview Baptist Church. Alyssa, would you wave at the crowd? And we don't want to embarrass her too much, but that's Alyssa. And let's do this. Let's vote her in right now. All those in favor of having Alyssa join the membership of Grandview Baptist Church, say amen.
Amen.
And Alyssa, we certainly are glad to have you as a part of our church. Thank you so much. At this time, we are going to watch our next video, and before we watch that, right after the next video, we're going to let you be dismissed. I want to mention, if it is your first time, we do have that guest reception area, gift card, see me, okay, right in the back there. We'd love to get to meet you and your family. Also, if you have an offering, we have not passed an offering plate in over a year, but we do have the offering plates, the men at the back, they're ready. If you have an offering to give, we have that ready as well. And then, fellas, dessert. Don't forget the dessert right after the service. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. After we watch the next video, you can be dismissed.
Make plans to join us for God and Country Day on Sunday, July 4th. We'll have patriotic services with special music at 8:30 and 11 a.m. There will also be a barbecue at the 11 o'clock service, followed by a patriotic celebration. Please help us in bringing plenty of side dishes and desserts.
Mark your calendars for our Grandview Acres Vacation Bible School. It will be Monday through Wednesday, July 12th through 14th, from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. If you would like to be a part of our children's outreach, or if you would like to register your child, stop by the welcome desk following the service.
Thank you for joining us for Father's Day. Every adult man will receive a dessert on us, so be sure to stop by the table in the foyer after the service.
Teenagers, mark your calendars and plan to join us for teen camp at Mount Zion Baptist Camp on August 2nd through 6th. It will be for teenagers in 7th grade through 2021 graduates. We will have more details to share in the upcoming weeks.
There will be ushers at the back doors if you would like to give your offering as you exit. If this is your first time here, you might have questions, and we would be happy to answer those questions. As you exit the auditorium, look for guest services. We would love to meet you and give you a gift card. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you tonight at 5.